The Old Testament reading today is Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it is not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him.
The scripture lesson today, the gospel lesson, comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. As we go through the Gospel of Matthew, sometimes the scriptures that we are assigned seem to not make a lot of sense. Sometimes they seem to be exactly right on. This one is a little combination of both in my mind. The first part does not seem to go with the second part. And so as we get ready to read and listen and hear these words, I'm going to see what you all think and see how you can mesh these together. We're following, remember, Jesus is on this journey, and now he is crossing into unknown territory. Hear the words of the Lord. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Can you explain this parable to us?" Were you thinking the same thing? Were you thinking, "I'm glad somebody said it"? And so then Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. Jesus left that place and he went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And then his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, what a mixed bag, huh? Or was it so clear to some of you, and my guess is it probably was, that you thought, "Well, sure, of course, I understand what all of that means. I get that." It sort of reminds me of a word that strikes terror into the hearts of many of us. Many of us. And that word is mathematics. True? Most of you know, I'm on Facebook at least once a day, sometimes more. And right now, one of the current trends in Facebook is that they will pop up with this question, and it's always a number problem. And they will say, they will include the teaser, "We bet that nobody can get the right answer to this." Because it has to do with the properties of mathematics. And it has to do with all of those things we learned. And so, maybe you know this. Do you know the abbreviation PEMDAS, PEMDAS? Do you know that? It reminds us of the orders of operations in math. It means that we do anything in the parentheses first, the exponents next, then we do the multiplication and the division, and then the addition, and then the subtraction. And if we forget those orders, we're never going to get the right answer. Now, one of my good friends just happens to be one of these people that loves to follow obscure Facebook groups. And there is an obscure Facebook group that is train tagging. And they will just post just amazing pictures that have been painted on the sides of the train cars. I really like those because it gives me something to do when I'm sitting at the railroad crossing watching the train go by. And she told me that one of those photos that popped up had PEMDAS in this beautiful spray painted on the side of the train car. It's a thing. We forget the rules. And it seems like in this scripture, sometimes it feels like maybe Jesus forgot the rules as we read through. I don't know. This story is unique to Matthew. It's not in any of the other gospels, which does not mean that it isn't true. It means that it is. It's just that the other gospels either just didn't want to deal with it, or those gospel writers thought, "Let Matthew take the heat on this one because this one's tough. And I don't want to have to explain to anybody what in the world this means." The scripture is divided into two separate parts. The first part, and again, it doesn't quite seem to go together, does it? I don't know if we can get there or not, but we're going to try. The first part, Jesus has the crowd in front of him. He is still in his homeland, and he says, "Listen and understand." And then he gives what would appear to be a very crude reference. And it reminds us that the things that go into our bodies will eventually really help us answer But Jesus is saying, sometimes we get so caught up in ourselves that we forget where God asked us to put the focus. God asks us to focus on how our words and our attitudes hurt others. The things that we say that come out of our mouth is what defiles. And I know some of us have to be incredibly careful about what we eat because it harms our bodies in different ways. But Jesus is basically saying to these people, I know you've had all of these religious restrictions on what you can eat and what you can't. And I'm telling you, that's not what defiles you. What defiles you is what comes from your heart and comes out your mouth. That's what defiles us. And Jesus is almost like begging and pleading. Please listen to my words. And Jesus has us. We get that. Oh, and I think back on the hateful things I've said to people before. Sometimes not intending to, and sometimes intentional because I'm just mad. Yes? Okay, it's probably just me, but we do, don't we? I let my emotions get the best of me. I start to think too much of myself and less of others, and I get my feelings hurt, and so I want to strike back. When I was younger, and I grew up with a sister 15 months younger than me, I was really good at it. I could make her cry like that. Okay, she was a tiny bit of a crybaby when she was growing up, but I think my parents would have told you I kind of pushed her into that. I certainly didn't help. But Jesus is saying, keep our focus on our words and our attitudes toward others. Jesus is reminding us of the things that we've already learned in the Bible, that while I love to think I'm number one, I'm really not. And if I always think as the person in front of me is number one and more important than myself, then I am going to guard my heart and I'm going to guard my words. Sadly, I get too caught up. I get too caught up in my own stuff. I get too caught up in what I want and what I think and what, and you know, if people would just listen to me, everything would be solved. It was very easy to do as a teacher because, you know, I was in charge. And when the kids would argue with me, I would say, you can argue with me all you want, but we're not having recess. Sometimes I would say, well, you can argue with me all you want, but we're going to recess instead of having this math class. Because, as any teacher in this room will attest, sometimes teachers needed a break more than the kids. So Jesus, in this first part of this reading, is just reminding us, watch your words, watch your attitude, be kind, be compassionate, Laura Helm. And then we get to this second part. And in part two, it seems like we're talking about a completely different person, doesn't it? Because Jesus has just finished telling the disciples, be careful of what you say and what you do and be kind. And then Jesus moves into a new territory. Jesus leaves the Jewish territory and moves into the land of Cana. And so now he's dealing with people who are not Jewish. He's dealing with people that are in a completely different world. And as he walks into this woman's world, she sees him. She started shouting, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. Have mercy on me. And then she tells Jesus what is happening. Did you notice the reactions? The first reaction is, Jesus is just silent. He doesn't even seem to acknowledge her or react to her at all. And for some of us, as we read that, you start to think, that seems a little un-Jesus-like, doesn't it? isn't Jesus supposed to love everybody? And isn't Jesus supposed to run to this woman and say, here, talk to me. It doesn't matter that you're not Jewish. Talk to me. And yet, he's just silent. But she is persistent. She is persistent, and she keeps coming back, not to accuse and not to belittle or belittle, but she's desperate. This isn't about her. This is about her daughter. And those of us who have family members and friends who are closer to us than we think are of our own selves, we get that. I would do almost anything, well, not when I was growing up, but especially now, for my sister. I would do almost anything for my nieces and my great niece and my great nephew. I would give my life for them. And Jesus reminds us that's how we should feel about everyone. And yet, when this woman comes, have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Jesus ignores her and is silent. And then starts to argue. When she keeps shouting after, he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Just a reminder, stay in your lane, ma'am. Stay in your lane because I'm not here for you. And yet she persists. Nevertheless, she persists. And she keeps coming back. Lord, help me. And then he says, it's not fair to take the children's food, the people from Israel, and throw it to the dogs. And there it is. Did you stop for a second the first time we were reading that and said, did Jesus really call her a dog? Yes, he did. He said, he equated helping her to throwing good food to dogs. Now, for a lot of us in this room, we do believe that dog backwards is God, and you know, yes, we get that. There are two who live at my house, and there have been four others before them that truly, they did rule the house. And if they needed to eat, by golly, we cut everything short so we can get home to feed the dogs because they're our babies. And a dog is one of those creatures that even when we're sometimes angry with them and mean, they keep coming back because we're their people. However, that's taking our 21st century sensibilities and putting it into this, and that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus didn't mean to say, well, yeah, throwing it to the dogs is better than throwing it to people, because that's not what Jesus meant. It was meant as a slur, and it was meant to hurt her. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And she had an answer, and she had a reason, because this is a mother with a mission. This is a mother who will do almost anything to help her daughter, and she did. She didn't take no for an answer any of the times. She didn't take Jesus's seeming shunning. She didn't take the words, and she kept coming back. And she had an answer, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then this beautiful sentence at the end. Jesus says, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And did you notice? Jesus said, woman. He didn't say Canaanite woman, but he called her woman. He put her on the same level as he was a man. He is giving her the respect that she has so well earned. In the midst of this, Jesus is teaching us, first of all, this Canaanite woman models the most admirable of human behavior.
not asking for myself, I'm asking for my daughter. And I will not take no for an answer. I will not be deterred. I love that. I love that in the midst of her pain, she keeps focus. She keeps focus on what is most important. And the thing that's most important to her right now is finding help for her daughter who needs it so desperately. She's tormented by a demon. I need help. She asks for help from a foe. She's asking for somebody else. And again, that word, she is persistent. I wish I could say I was that brave. I'm certainly not. Usually, as soon as somebody tells me no, okay, I'm done. Maybe that means that that thing that I'm asking about it does not have my heart and my soul. Because the things that are most important to our hearts and our soul, we will not let one no stop us. We'll find another alley, or we'll find another means, or we'll come back like she did with another argument. She is persistent in the face of insults and rejection. What an incredible example. Because so often I'm just ready to crumble. Well, they said, no, I can't do it. It can't be done. And then I get my feelings hurt. Can you believe that? They wouldn't even help this poor little girl. What? But she persisted. She's testing all of the boundaries of God's mercy. Will they hold? When I was teaching, I went to lots and lots of conferences, as anyone who is in any profession does. And I always remember this one thing that I learned early on in my teaching career. And they said, especially for you who are teaching children, children are going to test every single boundary. They're going to keep coming at you, and they're just waiting until they poke and poke and poke and poke, and finally we say, you know what, just do it, I don't care. Take the knives, go see what you can find out in the yard. Because they know enough to wear us down if it's something they really want. This woman's heart and soul is so evident because she is pleading and begging for the life of her daughter. She's testing the boundaries of God's mercy. And what most of us know, God's mercy comes through. I love this. I want to go back to this part where Jesus calls her woman. It's at the very end. Woman, great is your faith. He did not say Canaanite woman. He didn't remind her that she doesn't really belong. He's not identifying her or defining her by any racial or national or religious prejudice. And Jesus is telling us that is our job now as well. That is our job now as well. If I'm using any of those terms to identify a person only to say, I don't know what else to say, God is saying, look at their heart. That's a heart that I love. God is reminding us. Jesus has said to this woman, woman, great is your faith. Seldom do we have such incredible encouragement. Seldom do I feel that incredible encouragement from God. So often it seems like I'm going through the motions and I'm doing the things that I think God wants me to do, and I'm praying for answers, and I'm praying. But to hear someone say, great is your faith, what an incredible story. But this story is also for us. This isn't just what Jesus did for this one woman. Now we put ourselves into the story. And the question is, can we let Jesus heal us from the temptation to hang on to old habits, to prevent us from embracing our common humanity? Can we let Jesus heal us from hanging on to those things that we have always thought to be true and help us to see that we're all in this together? I think I've used this example, but it keeps popping in my brain. Do you remember the musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying? The very end is one of the best parts, where they're singing a song about how we're all in this together. We're part of one, not individuals, but we're part of one. We're part of humanity. We all matter. And God asks us to see that. God asks us to honor that and to see how we're much more alike than any of us are different. Feel like I kind of need that sign in my bathroom mirror so that every day I'm reminded, remember, Laura, you're never going to run into a single person today who God doesn't love wholly and completely. Never. Never. Even when I was teaching sixth graders, the same. Never. And I love that. But I think there's another lesson too. I think this woman reminds us that when it feels like God is saying no, she just kept going back. She kept persisting. How quickly am I to stop? Well, I tried. No, no is the answer. I can't do it. But this woman didn't do it. And I believe that one of the things that God is trying to teach us in this lesson is that if this is something that you desire with your whole heart, whether it's about a family member or about your life or about some decision you're trying to make, keep asking. Can we persist like this woman? Can we continue to ask for mercy even when we know? I know. I can't. I started to say I know, and then I was going to say I can't tell you, but I can. The number of people who come to me and say words very similar to, there is absolutely no way God can love me because of what I've done. There's absolutely no way God can forgive me because of what I've done. And I believe that part of what this scripture tells us is, oh, yes. Number one, we are children of God. God created us. God loves us completely. And God doesn't ever tire of hearing us ask for mercy. If we take nothing else from this scripture, may we remember that God loves us completely. And just because we think God is saying no, that doesn't mean we don't keep persisting. And in this story, it wasn't that she was saying, oh, come on, God, I need a bigger house. I need more stuff. I need this. It wasn't about that. It was about healing her daughter. It was something that touched her heart closer than almost anything else. And when that is what we bring to God, God honors that. This story is a reminder that the mercy of God overflows into the entire household. It's not just the mom and the dad. It's not just the grandparents. It's not just the great-grandparents. But it flows down into the children and even the dogs. I did notice there are no cats here. I got that. But this is a reminder that we were created in the image of God to love. We were created in the image of God to see God in each other's eyes, even when that person doesn't feel that they're lovable. As we go through our day, may we remember and may we hear those words, "Great is your faith," that God says to us, Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.